Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and surprisingly, for myself and likely for you, we are live this evening. That's right. We are L-I-V-E live. It wasn't really planned. I was going to record today a little earlier, but one of the kitties has a little bit of a fever, so we had to stay home with her. My wife had to go to work, and so we postponed recording and finally said, all right, I'll come out and do it live. So here we are. Today is July the 23rd, 2020. And don't you miss the days when you could, you know, intersperse some good news in with the bad? Weren't those the good old days? Wasn't that fun? Where we had a lot of serious topics to discuss. We had a lot of serious topics to delve into and talk about. But there was also some levity. There was also some hilarity. There isn't much levity to go around, is there? Even though we weren't here last week, because I do believe that having you hear the message for America for yourself, having you hear the message for America as it was delivered some 25, 30 years ago was important and is important, because there's a lot of people trying to put words in my grandpa's mouth for better or worse. And I was there. I was his translator. And the best way to do it was play an old clip from when he was alive, from when he was preaching, and when I was translating for him. So I decided to do that last week because we're living the times which were foretold some, let's see, do some math, almost 40 years ago. We're also living times that Jesus spoke of 2,000 years ago. So it's not as if, you know, we didn't know these things were coming. But as I heard somebody put it recently, and it's it was a smart way that they did it. It's not that we didn't see it coming. We didn't see where it was coming from. So this is where we are. It's looking more and more like civil unrest is being encouraged and is being bolstered and is being even financed by certain nefarious agents and agencies. And it's also stunningly obvious that elected officials weren't elected for their IQ points. They weren't elected for their smarts, as the kids like to say. These people were elected because they're line towers. They toe the line. They do what they're told, even if it ends up destroying their cities, even if it ends up destroying their states, even if, you know, suffering extends to more and more people. I honestly don't think they care. I've been promising to get into 1 Samuel 17 for some time now. I kept putting it off because, well, there were things to talk about. There's things to talk about this week, too. But we're at least going to attempt to start dissecting a little bit of 1 Samuel 17. Because there's a lot of wisdom to unpack in that just that one chapter. I mean, if you are given to meditation, if you are given to introspection, if you are given to reading a verse and just being still for the span of 5, 10, 15 minutes and letting that verse take root in your heart and see what flourishes, what comes out of it. It's one of those amazing chapters in the Bible where you see the depth of God's word, and it humbles you and it leaves you in awe. This past Sunday. I'm thinking back on the time because honestly, people are losing weeks and days and months. Nobody knows. We still know we're in the year 2020. That's pretty much everything everyone knows, because it's something nobody wants to relive. It's been such a heinous year for the first 7 months or so that people are like, oh, we're going to remember this year. We're going to be groaning 2020 on our deathbeds 40 years hence. And it's probably true. But other than knowing the year, very few people just, they don't care anymore. They don't care what month it is. They don't care what day of the week it is. They don't even wonder if they're wearing a fresh pair of underwear. As long as they're not stinking, people seem to be okay with themselves. And now, you know, they say that the sense of smell is one of the things to go as a symptom of the coronavirus, something so horrible that you need to get tested in order to figure out whether you have it or not. Don't even get me started. We deserve it. I've said it. I'll continue to say it. We deserve every ounce of this because we've become that lazy generation. We've become that indifferent generation. We've become that lethargic generation that apparently nothing can wake us from our slumber. So we're just going to sit in our basements with our masks on, because apparently Florida's saying now, even if you're indoors, even if it's just you and your family, better keep that muzzle on, kid. So we're all going to be in our basements wearing our muzzles, not letting enough oxygen get to our brains. And once in a while, when the pizza delivery guy drops off your pizza at the front door because it's contactless, you go and you push your mask a little sideways. You sort of stuff a few slices of pizza into the side of your mouth. You swallow once, and you go back to the basement and put that mask on, because boy, oh boy, oh boy, this thing is so horrendous that 99.5% of people survive it. So you better take precautions. You better be safe. Better safe than sorry. Well, we're already sorry, and we're not safe. So where does that leave us? Because we are. We're just a sorry clod of people, man. And these people, the little pseudo-tyrants in power see how little pushback there is to their idiocy. And so they just keep ratcheting up the stupid. That's all they're doing. We can talk about this for long and long. I can go on for an hour and then say goodbye. But I do want to read at least the first verse of 1 Samuel 17, because I've been called on the carpet. People have said that I don't keep my word, because I was going to talk to you about David. I was going to talk about the Philistines, and I was going to talk about Goliath and all that, and I keep pushing it. Well, we are pushing no longer. There you go. I'm going to read the first verse, probably go off on a rabbit trail for the next 40 minutes, but hey, we've got next week and the week after, so we will get through at least the first, 15 verses by the end of 2020. I promise. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 1 says this: Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Sochoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Sochoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. So the Philistines gathered their armies together for a purpose. The darkness has likewise gathered its armies together for a purpose. And if one thing has been made abundantly clear over the last few months. It's where the battle lines are and who is on which side. And that's a very important thing to be aware of. It's a very important thing to know. It's a very important thing to acknowledge. The enemy has gathered his armies, and he has gathered them to battle. This is the one thing that you have to grudgingly respect about the other side. When they even feel, it doesn't have to be proven, it doesn't have to be demonstrated, it doesn't have to be etched in stone. When they even feel like they have a semblance of an advantage, they push that advantage to no end because they showed up to battle. Just as the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, the darkness has likewise gathered its armies together to battle. The devil understands the times we're living in better than most Christians. I'm going to let that sit there. In fact, I shall repeat it. The devil knows the times in which we're living. He acknowledges the times in which we're living. He understands and perceives the shortness of the times better than most Christians. And this is why, for the most part, the enemy is making one big final push. And as I said, if there's one good thing to come out of all this chaos, is that the lines in the sand have been drawn and you can perceive, you can know, you can see. It doesn't have to be a hunch anymore. It's obvious as the sun in the midday sky what side certain people are on. To that end, I was reading this, and again, levity is in short supply. So you have to get it where you can. And I did crack one smile today, and that was when I read that the mayor of Portland, Oregon, joined the violent protests. I didn't stutter. He joined the violent protests. This is the mayor of Portland, Oregon. So for the last, 2 months now, 58, 57 some odd days, Portland, Oregon is being assailed by criminals and ne'er-do-wells. It's a city under siege. And last night, the mayor of Portland joined in with the violent protests. Now, if you haven't seen a picture of the mayor of Portland, he's exactly what you'd think he was. Just pasty, limp-wristed, one of those people. Yes, I said those people. Pasty and limp-wristed. And he went out last night trying to make his bones. He went out last night thinking he was going to get praised for letting his city go to ruin, for giving in to the mob, for allowing 20-somethings with daddy issues to burn down government buildings. So he went out attempting to get his 5 or 15 minutes, as it were. Because I guarantee you, when this man thought it through, he didn't think that what happened last night would happen to him. There was no way that crossed his mind, because if it would have, he would have stayed home. So he goes out thinking he's going to get, you know, have you seen at concerts those human waves where somebody's just bounced around on people's arms lovingly? And then some YouTube clips have those same people when people get tired of, you know, holding them up, just letting them drop on their faces. But again, different story. Mayor of Portland goes out thinking he's going to get his accolades. He's going to get his comeuppance. You know, he's going to get his G card, meaning gangsta. Because, you know, he let it go down. He let it go down. He let every business burn in his town. He didn't care. The police was told to stand down. Looters, rioters, and all manner of criminal element ravaged this city for 2 months. And the one mistake they made was that they tried to get into the federal building and burn it down. And federal means federal. So for all you quasi-prophets with a chip on your shoulder about Donald Trump, he sent in the troops to protect federal property. He sent in the troops to protect federal buildings. Because I'm seeing, you know what? I'm not even going to point anyone out. Because I'm still a nice guy. With everything going on in the world attempting to sour my mood, attempting to harsh my mellow, I'm still a decent guy. I'm still a nice human being, so I'm not going to call anyone out on the carpet. Let me just say this, however. This is not Nazi Germany, and these are not the Stasi, or it's not Kristallnacht. Grow up, all right? Before you make me say things that, you know, will put us at odds with each other, because I know you listen to this program. Most every pseudo-prophetic voice does, because they're hoping to get a nugget that they can, you know, redecorate and make their own. Again, off on a tangent. I don't want to go there. Let me just backtrack a little bit and tell you what happened to the mayor of Portland so that you might understand how it intertwines with that verse, the first verse in 1 Samuel 17. The Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. Everyone knew what side everyone else was on. Another thing that very few believers who choose to sit on the sidelines understand is that if the other side wants war, if the other side wants battle, then you only have two options. Array your own armies in defense, or surrender. Wave the white flag, bend the knee, kiss the feet and the boots of whoever walks by and says, "Kiss my feet." And that's it. You've surrendered. But neutrality is not an option when the other side wants war. The Philistines gathered their armies for a purpose. They gathered their armies together to battle. Now, anyone that gathers an army to battle does so with the expectation of victory, of vanquishing their enemy, of subjugating their enemy. The Philistines had no intention of beating the snot out of the Hebrews, and then once they lay bleeding, go, "Okay, I guess we've proven our point. Can we call a truce now?" That's not the way it works. That's not how battle works. The darkness has gathered its armies for battle. Will you surrender or will you fight? Because these are your only two options. I hope I'm making myself clear. If the other side has arrayed itself in battle formation, intent on battle, then whether you want it or not, the only two options afforded you are surrender or to defend yourself, to go to war. Now, back to the Portland mayor. He is a man who has chosen his side. He has chosen the side of anarchy. He has chosen the side of criminality. He has chosen the side of those who throw firebombs and try to crack cops over the skull and set buildings and businesses on fire. That's the side he chose. He didn't choose the side of his constituents. He didn't choose the side of his voting base. Or maybe he did, because his voting base is probably as lunatic as him. But he thought he was going outside last night to glory in the praises of those he had allowed to destroy his city for the past 2 months. Instead, not only did he get booed by the anarchists, he also got tear gassed by the feds. And that is what made me crack a smile this morning. The man is an absolute doofus, and he deserves it. And I hope his vision is blurry for some time, because he went out with the specific purpose of just being awash in praise for how open-minded he was, for how he understood the plight of the young men who would stab you in the throat for a pair of Nikes. Because he's cool like that. He understands, man. He was going out there to feel the vibe of the people and for the people to go, oh, what a mayor we have in Ted Wheeler. And instead, he got booed by him. Because Ted, good buddy, they have no use for you anymore. You let them run amok for too long. They don't want to share power. They don't want a truce. And right now you reveal yourself for the human piece of garbage that you are. And so you can't come back to any side now. You are a man without a country, Ted Wheeler. The anarchists don't want you. The feds done gassed you. But that's what you get for being an idiot. So, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler joined a violent demonstration in his city Wednesday night at which protesters threw flaming bags of garbage at a federal courthouse, and where he was jeered by the crowd before being tear gassed by federal officers. That brought a smile to my face, because the useful idiots don't understand as yet that they will be tolerated only insofar as they are useful. This is an attempted overthrow of a constitutional republic. They're not interested in an armistice. They're not interested in shared power or whatever else you want to call it. They're going to try to push their advantage. And I say this with a heavy heart. God help us all if they win. Because I guarantee you, my name, your name, and the name of many others are on a list somewhere. And if they, for an instant, believe they have the upper hand, they will retaliate. They'll try to get even. Because that's what Philistines do. They gathered their armies together to battle. There was no desire for diplomacy. There was no desire to sit down at a round table and discuss it. The Philistines thought they had this in the bag. Otherwise, they wouldn't have bothered to gather their armies together to battle. Understand that when an army makes the first move, when an army gathers itself together to battle, when it comes to attack another nation, there is a presumption of having the upper hand. There is a presumption that the odds of victory are in their favor. There is no army that, knowing with certainty that it would lose a battle, set out to attack another nation. That would be foolhardy. So, we have to take what's going on in this nation seriously. Because if the darkness has gathered its armies together to battle, the darkness has convinced itself or talked itself into believing that it sees a path to victory. The darkness has talked itself into believing that at the end of all the bloodletting, at the end of all the loss of life, at the end of all the burnt businesses, at the end of all the damaged cities, they would come out on top. This is what they're presupposing. And as is often the case, as was the case with the Philistines, overconfidence is a killer, isn't it? But man, they're confident. And look, every single day that passes, a new quote-unquote public figure, a new quote-unquote politician, announces which side of the battle they're on. And again, some of these people are zealots. Some of them are like the Islamists who will strap a bomb vest on their child and send them out to say hi to the soldier, then detonate their own kid. Some of these people are past gone. They would do literally anything if it meant getting what they want, which is power. But there are others who are more cunning than them. There are others who are using the anger and the zealotry of these people to further their agenda. And if those people thought that this was a lost cause, if they thought there was nowhere to go but down, they'd cut bait and run. But they're not. The mayor of Portland, Oregon, joined the criminals last night. Now, the criminals didn't want anything to do with them, because to them, he is also the enemy. Then Ted got a face full of the good stuff, because Ted was amidst a group that was trying to destroy federal property. Again, federal. All you Facebook prophets who keep going on about, oh, Kristallnacht. I'm going to call you retarded because it's now an offensive word. But control yourself before you make me say everything I'm itching to say. Control yourself. Nobody's getting black bagged. Federal buildings are being defended by federal officers. But Mayor Ted Wheeler's demanding that they too leave or stand down. I wonder if he's singing the same tune today. Because he was rejected by those he was trying to please. He was rejected by those he believed would praise him to no end. Now, we're going to get back to 1 Samuel 17 at some point. Perhaps today, perhaps not. But it's going to be an ongoing thing because, again, I'm a man of my word. And for those of you that are thinking of testing me, Facebook prophets, just remember that. I'm a man of my word. So, discuss two things that we talked about some time ago. It must have been 3 months. 4 months, maybe. I don't know. It was right after this whole nonsense started. Remember, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. You remember that? I do. We need 2 weeks to flatten the curve. It's the end of July. This started in March. I'm no mathematician, but I think it's more than 2 weeks. So we're beginning to see a trend now as to the collateral damage that will begin to just grow exponentially. We're seeing causality taking place. And the first thing is, there is an uptick in people who have permanent damage due to delayed care because of fear, because of the coronavirus, because their hospitals were shut down. And we're only beginning to see the tip of the iceberg for this. I was having dinner with some friends last night, and we discussed, how many suicides do you think occurred over the last 3-4 months out of just sheer hopelessness? How many people overdosed on pills? How many people overdosed on fentanyl? How many people drank themselves to death because their life was so bleak due to what we've done to this nation? Now, I'm sure that their death was written up as a COVID death, because apparently all deaths are nowadays. Nobody's dying from flu or cold or broken necks from bike accidents, apparently. And at some point, rational, reasonable human beings have to ask themselves, why this constant need to keep fear ramped up to 150? Why this constant need to have some sort of just cataclysmic bad news every single day? Not one day. Over the last 3 months, has there been a moratorium on how many new cases, how many new deaths? It's the end of the world as we know it, violins, violins. Not one day did they, hey, we're a little hopeful. Look, this stuff kind of works and this stuff kind of works, and if you're not 95 and obese, you've got a good chance of survival. Nope, nope, nope. We all gonna die. We all gonna die. Now, you can choose to do the responsible thing and die in your basement with a mask on. Or you can be selfish and go outside and try to see a sunset over the beach one last time. Shame on you! How darest thou, sir, endanger mammalian life itself by going on the beach to see a sunset? Now, if you happen to be protesting with a fist up in the air trying to burn down federal buildings, well, you're not going to catch the virus. So go on with your bad self. Protest away. But no, no, if you're a law-abiding citizen who just wants to take their kid to the beach, well, you're a monster. You want grandma to die. You want to kill the dolphins. We should arrest you and put you in prison. Lord knows there's plenty of room because we've let all the prisoners out, so they wouldn't catch the virus. You see where this is going? Not yet? You will. You will. Because at some point, sooner or later, as much as we would want to pretend that the Philistines have not gathered their armies together to battle, all we have to do is open one eye and go, uh-oh, still there. They're still there. Imagine all the people of Judah, huh? Are they gone yet? Nope. Still there? Yep. What are we going to do? Oh, let's ignore them a little while longer. We're going to get deep into this. Like I said, depending on how deep I want to go here, we got at least 4 months of material from just one chapter in the Bible. But yeah, I know, it's, you know, I've read it all so many times, brother. There's nothing new. Want to bet? How much you want to bet? I know, we're not supposed to bet. It was a joke. Every time you read the Word of God, whether the Old Testament or the New Testament, if your heart is hungry and you want truth, God will pour it into you. God will feed you because He is a good God. And if you ask Him for bread, He will not give you a stone. But guess what most of us are doing rather than asking for bread? We're trying to figure out what QAnon's going to do or say. QA who? Look, do I need to? At this juncture, really, do we need to talk about this? Because between the vaccine being the mark of the beast and QAnon bringing back John F. Kennedy Jr., my dance card's a little full. And I don't even know how to dance. So imagine how much wiser we would be if instead of attempting to dissect the lunacy of people living in their basements, eating Cheetos in their underwear, we went to the Word of God and started reading it with open hearts to receive wisdom. Just imagine how much wiser we would be. So, like I said, for the past few months, I've been talking about the unintended consequences of this prolonged shutdown. And now we are beginning to see the ripples of it. You're not even seeing the shark fin yet. We're just beginning to see some ripples in the water. And a doctor was interviewed on the radio this morning, and he said there are people that are suffering from long-term negative effects of other medical problems because they're afraid to go to the hospital. Some having even had strokes and heart attacks. So the media has done such a comprehensive job of sowing fear into the hearts of the average citizen that though they may have had a stroke or a heart attack, they still won't go to the hospital out of fear. The doctor goes on to say that he's had someone with an ankle fracture and dislocation that didn't dare to come into the hospital because they were afraid. And because they delayed it for so long, they're going to have a destroyed ankle forever. They're never going to walk right again. Because Don the homosexual Lemon and his counterpart Anderson the homosexual Cooper and most of the talking heads on television take great glee and delight in telling you, you's going to die. Look at the numbers. You's going to die. We all die. And yet, deaths are flat. How can that be? Because, man, people testing positive through the roof. They're not saying that they're testing more people, though. That's the one little, you know, nuance that they're leaving out. We won't tell them we're testing more people. We're just saying there's more positive tests. Don't let them sow fear into your heart. Because perfect love casts out fear. So you can have one of the two. You can have the love of God, or you can have fear. The two cannot coexist in the same heart. I know I'm getting a little preachy, but allow it. Let me have this moment. I was in Michigan this past Sunday morning, and I preached for the first time in, oh dear, it's at least 6 months. For the first time in about 6 months, I actually preached to a crowd. I have the radio program. I do this. I write. I've filmed a couple of videos, but it's not the same thing. Anybody that has preached either once or 1,000 times knows that it's a different feel when you have a live audience and when you're just talking into a camera. So we were there this past Sunday morning. It was a church that never closed down, even though they were in Michigan, and that earned my respect, and that's why I went out. But Gino has put the sermon up on YouTube, so go to the Hand of Help YouTube website and find it, because I think there were a few nuggets of wisdom sprinkled in there that should give you reason for a little contemplation, a bit of food for thought, if you will. Now, this doctor continues, and he says he has a patient with a dislocated finger that waited till it was impossible to relocate the finger. So they're going to have long-term consequences. There are people suffering in silence because they're too afraid to come out of their basement. There are people suffering in silence because they're too afraid to stand up for themselves. The Philistine army has gathered together to battle. And this will be a battle on many fronts. Now, the one thing that's keeping a great majority of people quiet today is the same thing that kept Saul and all of Israel quiet when they heard the words of Goliath. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. And many law-abiding, honest people are in the same boat today. They see the words of the Philistine. They understand deep down logically that what the Philistine is saying is just so out of bounds that if ever his words became reality, we would no longer recognize the country that we live in. And yet, because they are dismayed and greatly afraid, they continue to be silent. Where we go from here is a question that I have pondered for a while now. And at this juncture, the only sure thing is that where we go will depend upon what the people of God do. Will we be dismayed and greatly afraid to the point that we will surrender? And after having surrendered, be slaughtered because the enemy takes no prisoners? Or will we make a principled stand? I guess next week we're going to keep on with 1 Samuel 17, aren't we? Because there is so much to unpack. But for now, there's one other piece news, I guess it's news, that I warned you about, what, 2 months ago, 3 months ago? Unemployment jobless claims unexpectedly rise to 1.416. Because as long as you're keeping people locked in their basements, as long as you're mandating that people can't open their businesses fully, this blip we saw in March was like that big inhale of breath you take after you've been underwater for some time. That's what it was. That's why there was this big job spike, because people had been underwater for so long. They'd been without oxygen for so long that now that their head was above the surface, they took the biggest inhale that they could. But you can't keep breathing like that in perpetuity, because you're going to get lightheaded. So they started breathing normally again. There are forces which have aligned themselves. There are armies that have gathered together to battle. And as far as one side is concerned, my friend, all you are is collateral damage. They don't care that you lost your job. They don't care that you lost your livelihood. They don't care that you lost your business. They don't care that ruffians and ne'er-do-wells burnt down your house. It's all collateral damage. Because they didn't gather their armies together to battle simply to let you live your life as you had been up until this point. And that's the thing that most people need to wake up to. Your life will never be the same again if the Philistine is allowed to win. It's not as though that once they win, they're going to come and try to shake hands. That whole idiocy about bipartisanship is a one-way street. When they're in the minority, that's all they scream about. Bipartisanship, we need to be a bipartisan Senate. But man, once they get the majority, what was it good old Barack Hussein Obama said? We won, you lost, get to the back of the bus and shut up. And I know why I'm saying these things. Because there are still believers who shrug their shoulders and say to themselves, well, it can't be that bad. They can't really let this go on that long. Allow me to refresh thine memory. Portland, Oregon has been a city under siege for 60 days, or close to it. And last night, the duly elected mayor of Portland, Oregon, joined in with the arsonists and the vandals and the looters even though he wasn't welcomed by them. The man picked his side. Have you picked yours? That is the question. Because eventually, the Philistines will begin to advance. If there is no David, then the Philistines will take it as a sign of cowardice and just advance. Now, in the upcoming weeks, we will get into the mindset of David. We will get into who this young man was, why he was able to do what an entire army could not. And how God expects nothing less of you. See, because David never walked in his own strength. He never walked in his own might. And to hear Goliath spew the words that he spewed, David took it as an affront, not to himself, but to the God that he served. I'll leave you with that one for tonight, because to unpack any more would be to overfeed you. And then you'll get the tummy ache, and you're going to need the Pepto-Bismol. So we will end it here for tonight. I thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers. And be wise, especially now, especially in times such as these. Be wise. Be vigilant. And do not let fear worm its way into your heart. Gino, if you're there and you've got anything to say, the floor is yours. God bless.
All right. Thank you, Michael. As Mike said, on YouTube is the message from last Sunday, 7/19/2020, and it's definitely worth listening to. I think Mike challenges the whole fear, trepidation, issues that people have kind of been talking back and forth about the whole situation with church lockdown and that. It's really a solid message and biblical message. Also, 2 weeks ago, we did a program called Wake Up America, and we will be putting that up on YouTube as well. I actually put a one-hour audio together of the message for America with Mike translating and Dimitri giving the message in one-hour format. So we will be uploading that to YouTube. And please let people know about the broadcast Light of Truth every Thursday night, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock Central Time. Also, please let others know about the books, Through the Fire, Dreams and Visions, and the DVD, Wake Up America. This is the hour to warn, blow a trumpet, and let people know to wake up. Thank you so much tonight for listening.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all leaving.